6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You better run. Welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Sydney.
And I'm Kirk.
And today we are starting off the Lokiverse coverage with Loki Season 2 trailer. And let me introduce the cast of characters. I'm Alex. And
we'll go, we're either going to go with Sylvie or we're going to go with Sydney. But
okay, how about we go with Sydney? Okay, let's go with Sydney. Sydney, how the heck are you, and how did you come about this whole Lokiverse thing?
Oh, well, first of all, it's so good to see you again. So Alex and I used to podcast about Yellow Jackets. For Loki, I don't know, guys. I mean, I've been trying to think of an answer for that one. I just ended up starting with WandaVision, and it led to Loki. I'm not someone who's been into Marvel my entire life.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm in it now. I mean, not every single product they make is my favorite, but I mean, I fell head over heels for Loki, for like this empathetic character and the creativity that really takes you to the literally end of time and end of reality and end of space. I think the show has style. So I watched it a number of times, and I was so excited when Jason asked me to join you guys.
Well, you know, if you're going to do anything Marvel and you're with Podcastica, the only person that I would want to do it with the gentleman right next to me, and that is Kirk Manley. If you don't know who he is, then you're
better off.
You're not better off. You should know, because he's probably forgotten more about Marvel and DC than most people have learned. And when I got asked by Sydney to do this, my first words were, let's get Kirk, because I have no idea. Like I said, he knows this stuff inside and out. And Kirk, tell people that don't know a little bit about what you do, because it's just fascinating what you do and how you got into the whole Marvel universe.
Wait a minute, now I'm in the Marvel universe myself?
You are it. You are Loki.
Well, if I am, it's in What If then.
Absolutely.
I'm an illustrator, and I do everything from comic books to what I call tribute art pieces, which are illustrations of, you know, movies and TV series. I kind of got started with that aspect of what I do with my love affair with The Walking Dead TV show. Actually, prior to that, The Walking Dead comic book, which is really where I started with that. And then when I found out they were going to make a movie or a TV show, I was a loyal follower before it even hit the screen. And so that was a way for me to kind of take what I do, illustration, and express myself and my love for that TV show and that book and that whole storyline. And that kind of started the whole ball rolling, you know, and through that I met Jason, and I would sometimes be on his show, his original show with Karen. And then started doing some work for him as well. And he brought me into the Walker Stalker Cons because he was working with them doing announcing and
interviews
and all that. Yeah, exactly. And so he introduced me to them, and I started doing the show posters for them, and it all kind of steamrolled from there. So in terms of my love of Marvel, it's just the way I grew up. I just grew up reading comics from day one. And I love Batman. There are some DC characters that I like a lot, but I really never read DC regularly. I was always Marvel. Their characters were richer, more filled with more complexity, more emotion. There was always personal lives that were getting in the way of being superheroes. It was much more relatable. You know, a lot of DC, I would say, is characters that are like godlike, and Marvel was much more about, you know, human beings who are bestowed with powers, and then how do they manage that in the context of living a normal life too, you know? So I always found that intriguing.
Well, you know, anytime you want to talk Marvel, it's just amazing, because I've spent a couple of bucks on your stuff and your show posters and things like that, and you get it. And folks, if you haven't seen his stuff, his link will be in the show notes. I promise you. Take a look at it, because it's some cool stuff.
And another website.
Thank you.
StudioKM.com. Yeah. I got mine coming. I've got a Sylvie poster done by Mark. That's going to be right over here, and I'm real excited.
Awesome.
And so that said, you know, the one thing that I think is really kind of neat about not only the Lokiverse, but Marvel, and there's been a lot of criticism of Disney taking over Marvel, Disney taking over Star Wars, and just, you know, using it to the nth degree. And I have to tell you, and this is just me talking, but every single offshoot of Marvel and Star Wars that's been on Disney Plus has been a home run. I mean, you know, you've seen it from the cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoons to today. Is there any real criticism? Not just talking about Loki, because we're going to get into Loki, but when you think about what they've done with Marvel, I mean, is there any criticism in your eyes, Kirk?
I'm with you. I mean, I see a lot of people complaining. I hear people, you know, unhappy with a lot of the Disney Plus shows versus the films. And I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. I mean, I never went into the Disney Plus experience expecting them to be feature film level of story and investment and special effects and cast and everything else. You know, I realize, you know, when you start making a multi-episode show, you're talking about money that's like crazy. And so you had, you know, the expectation was low, and I think that there have been shows that were better than others.
Of course.
I look at that like I do comic books. You know, there were comic books I bought that I read that were like, okay. And then other ones that, you know, I read over and over and over still to this day. So that's just the nature of the creative process. Sometimes, you know, it's going to hit for you, and sometimes it's not, you know. But I'm very happy with Disney Plus. My fear with Disney originally buying Marvel was just that it was going to dilute it and destroy it with more, you know, typical kind of producers who don't have any experience with comic books or background in that, and that's not at all what they did. I think everyone's happiness, they came in and just said, you know, Kevin Feige, you've been doing great, let's go with that, you call the shots, we're just going to supply the money, you know. And
so to that point, Sydney, I know you're kind of a latecomer, if that's fair to say, to Marvel and to Loki. I could you even tell that it wasn't a really extended movie? When you look at Loki, that first season, even the first episodes of season one, which we're going to break down, you know, in other episodes, but I mean, they're using the original movies. They're throwing it all in. I mean, as a viewer, did it give it a lot more legitimacy, for lack of a better term?
Well, first of all, I actually like TV better than I like movies. You're going to ask me if I've seen X, Y, and Z, and maybe no, if it's a film. But I like this format they do. I like that it's six episodes. And as we move into news in our future coverage, I mean, I think we'll talk about how Marvel or Disney is going to start scaling back quantity for quality. I mean, the numbers, the money they're putting behind these shows and the epic proportions and the art, I mean, I love it. And as you were just saying, I'm kind of new to Marvel, but because I really care about this character, I've been trying to do the homework. So I never read comics. I actually did read Walking Dead, because how can you not? But I've started reading like the Loki comic books, and Kirk's been suggesting some, and I've got him from the, you know, library and everything. So learned a lot about his character and who his dad was, you know, and kind of like why he is who he is. So another thing you said just a second ago was that they tie it into the films. And I love that, because something I love about all of these kind of genre pieces and things like that are Easter eggs. That's what I liked about Yellow Jackets. There's always that little clue. And Loki is a complicated show with a complicated concept, one that requires a lot of following along, but it ties so nicely into other products that Marvel is doing, and that's what excites me.
Well, without going down another rabbit hole, let's get into this trailer. And what we'll do is I'm gonna have you start off, Sydney, and what were your first thoughts? Or, you know, I know we're gonna break it down into a couple of different highlights. And that first one is like repair in advance. What's your first thoughts on that topic?
Oh, I thought it was an excellent trailer. First of all, I've been waiting for this trailer for months, and I keep getting tricked on YouTube by these people who post like, here's the official season two trailer, and I watch it and I'm like, oh cool, that was cool, or whatever. But people are just making this in their basement. I have no idea. When I finally got the real Disney product, yeah, I was really stoked.
And you know, we start off and we see some new characters, don't we? We see Short Round right off the bat, and I know that's not his character. Please don't. Yeah, I know it's not his character, but he's always Short Round to me. And we're finding out that Loki has got himself a little problem. And Kurt, first off, I've never read the comic, so you're going to really have to kind of, you know, keep me straight. The problem, well, no, I mean, because there's the comic book readers versus the people that watch the show.
Yeah, I love comics, but I love the MCU, and I kind of see them as two separate things. Yes, one is based on the other, but you know, I there's character. I mean, I never spent a lot of time following Loki, but
really, who did?
Yeah, right.
But I mean, I don't mean that to be funny.
But I fell in love with him as a character in the MCU because of the way he's portrayed, and the acting and the writing for him, the fact that he's this kind of tortured bad guy that you actually have sympathy for, because of, you know, you know why he is the way he is because of the way he was brought up and who he is, and this, you almost feel bad for him with the nature that he has to be so evil and mischievous, and yet, you know, he really does love his brother, he really does love his father, he really does want to be a true son of Asgard. And, you know, those are all admirable things. And his evolution is one of the best character arcs, I think, in the first 10 years of the MCU. I mean, there's a number of great ones, obviously, Iron Man, even Cap. But he's also one just fantastic, you know, and the way it all ended so tragically, and they've just really done a great job in the TV show of taking that and running with it. You know what I mean? And now I suspect in this season, because last season it was kind of like they brought him from the evil Loki to really a hero almost. I think he's going to go slip back a little bit in this season. That's my prediction. You know, get a little darker at points. But I think that's partly because he's going to be fighting against, Kang and this evil that is even more evil than him, and could be, you know, globally or not globally, but universally destroy everything. So he's going to have to get darker to fight that.
Absolutely. So, you know, we find Mobius and Loki, they're with Obi. And Obi basically tells them what, Sydney, like, what is going on in that first scene? Because I'd love for you to take a look at it.
Mobius is saying that we've got a problem, and we meet Obi, which the internet has told me stands for Ouroboros. And
love that internet.
They have everything, and they're always
everything.
My notes have a couple of aids from the internet. But that is Kiwe Kwan, and fresh off of his Oscar. And I get like that Goonies vibe from him. He's the inventor here. And we got Loki. He is time slipping. So he looks like some chewing gum. And I guess he is moving through forward and other physical spaces as well.
If I could just jump in there, I think that also the significance of the Ouroboros, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, is that that's mythologically a snake that's eating its own tail. So it's in like a circle. So it's very symbolic of, you know, the infinite circle of and time, and that it continues, and also of the infinite timelines and Kangs and everything else, you know. So and throughout the show and throughout this trailer, a lot of references to circles, a lot of references to circles. So
I mean, even on the poster,
yeah. And when you, the first shot is a circle, which is the entry into his lab where he works, where Obi is. But it's even more than a circle. It's a circle, and then it comes down like this. It looks almost like a keyhole.
Yep. Sure.
So it's almost like they're kind of saying, you know, they've got to find the key to the lock to solve this problem of what's happening at TVA and what's happening with time. And it's just ingenious throughout the whole, and I'll keep coming back to it in my notes all the times I think circles are significant. But so I just wanted to mention that about him. That's it. I'm just looking at my notes here.
That's fine.
They've got a gumball machine in there. I mean, they've got a number of on the wall. They've got the
gumball machine is great because isn't it round?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then of course the gumballs inside are round.
And right. The pneumatic tubes, I mean, the lids of those, the orange lids, I mean, which is a really cool aesthetic feature in there. There's probably three dozen, am I saying it right? Pneumatic tubes? Yeah. That like kind of empty into the middle of the room. They come from all corners of a circular room. And they, I think, drop a lot of work orders because it seems that Obi is not just an inventor, but he's also repair. And they're needing his help to help Loki, who should not be time slipping in the TVA, but obviously it's happening. We see it, so believe it.
Well, I think I'm guessing that the significance of the pneumatic tubes is that they want to continue to emphasize that the TVA technology, though, you know, advanced to the point of being able to control time, is also based in a more archaic or old-fashioned style technology. And I think we're going to get a lot of answers as to why that is in this season, because of the Kang, that one of the Kangs in the Kang that we meet in this trailer is developing a machine in that past of the kind of beginning of the turn of the century or the beginning right. of the 19th century.
Yeah. So, I mean, they go right to, like, I think it's in the 18, almost 1900s in Chicago. You know, right. they've got that Victorian look. So we're going back to the beginning of even, you know, Miss Minutes, the whole thing, and how that all kind of plays out. And in the trailer itself, they have him going back in time. So I think that it's going to be really interesting how he's going to correct or fix. I don't know if the right word is correct or fix what Morpheus or what he has done. It's just kind of I'm so up in the air of what is going on. And I say that because, you know, part of me thinks, okay, we've got all these different Lokis now. How are they all fitting in together with the whole Morpheus, with the whole Kang? And it's just kind of a Pandora's box. Not to mention, now that we have all these multiverses, they can take it in any direction they want. So I think that's a big, although it is a big issue, because really nobody can tell you where it's going to go. But maybe you can, Kirk, but everybody else.
No, I can't.
I want to remind everybody, like, where season one kind of ended. Like, where is this trailer picking up? And we're going to do 3 recap episodes on season one anyways. But at the end of season one, Sylvie has killed He Who Remains. And in the last scene, Loki has returned to the TVA, but he's returned to a TVA where he meets up with Mobius and Hunter B-15, and they don't recognize them. And one of, like, a major change to the TVA is that there used to be this big lizard statue, a timekeeper statue, and that's no longer there, and that's replaced by a statue of Kang. So I think when we get to the later part of the trailer, we can talk about that a little bit more. But I mean, I think we're going to be trying to figure out, is it a time point that he's arrived at and that's why they don't know who he is? Like, is it the past, or did Sylvie killing He Who Remains caused some sort of pruning event where Loki had not arrived at, you know, the TVA in the first place? But he obviously does meet up with a Mobius that knows him, because at some point, and they, you know, they go on an adventure together, and they're, you know, the World's Fair, where we see Victor Timely later.
I don't know if he knows him, but I think he will. I think in the first episode, where he's going to spend a lot of time trying to explain to them and convince them about what he knows from the previous timeline. And they'll, at first, I don't think they're going to believe him, but I think they'll, by the end of the first episode, I'm guessing they will, and they'll start to team up. Before we leave the OBs area, I wanted to note that if you also look around, and this maybe comes back to your question of, you know, is he in the past? Is he, where is he? If you notice it, that when they cut from the OB's area and into the, like, hallway of the TVA, there's the posters. And if you remember from season one, there's posters all over the place. But right. all the posters in season one in the TVA are all about protecting the sacred timeline.
Correct.
None of these are about that. None of them are about that. This TVA and this universe that he's in is all about the multiverse. You know, I don't know if that's not necessarily celebrating that in the posters. It's not really clear, but they're definitely not focused on trying to maintain the sacred timeline. So that tells
evidence that it's before.
Well, it could be. I think it is either before or it is after. In other words, once they killed He Who Remains, that started all of the splitting off. And when she pushed him through the door to get rid of him, he landed in an alternate, you know, timeline. One where He Who Remains was not the creator of the TVA, but the TVA was still created by Kang or by the Council of Kangs, right? So that's where I think he is now.
I think that's just going to get really complicated. So
I hope so.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Well, what's interesting is when you look back at that one scene on the front of Obi's desk, it says repair and advancement. To your point, it's not about really it doesn't come out and say about the Sacred Timeline,
right,
keeping that with the posters. So it'll be definitely interesting to see what Easter eggs they gave us after we see it all, you know, if we missed anything.
Yeah.
So that said, do you have any other point, Sydney or Kirk, on that whole first repair and advancement?
I think we can move into time slipping because we've got Loki here. He is time slipping through time and space. He's out there in front of a jet ski sales center. We see him in, like, I don't know, a 1940s movie premiere, Zaniac. We see him in front of the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago.
Right.
And then I think we see some more future scenes where he's back with Sylvie. We also see him, Loki, visiting a room of the TVA where a Loki is standing there, and he's reading an orange TVA handbook underneath a Miss Minutes monitor. So I think that one's really interesting and does show that he is skipping through time points of the TVA itself. A future version of himself.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that on that monitor, and this is thanks to the internet, by the way, that there is a little hourglass shape on the Sacred Timeline. So at that point in time where he finds that Loki, he does, they've got a timeline. That hourglass shape is going to show up two other times. It's going to show up when Mobius dons his space suit with his, like, duct tape and heads out to approach, like, a tangible timeline. There's an hourglass figure on it. And then later when we meet Victor Timely and he's presenting or demonstrating some sort of technological marvel, it seems like it's an hourglass too, even though it's various pieces set next to each other. So
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah. I just, as you were speaking, I just, you know, the thing we have to keep in mind with Marvel trailers, they're very famous for misleading or cutting things together in a way that's not how it is in the show, or even putting in things that they shot but are not going to be in the episode. So you have to always be really careful. But for instance, we're watching it very linear, and I'm assuming that those shots in the TVA that you're just talking about now are the same TVA that we see him in at the end of season one, and that he's in the beginning of the trailer trying to convince them about and everything. But you know what? There's no reason to believe that doesn't have to be the case. So then it occurred to me, maybe he gets back to that initial universe or version or timeline at some point in the series. And that's where that device is trying to either control, maintain, stifle the split that has been caused by the death of He Who Remains. Know what I'm saying?
That's totally what I think. I think that Loki's going to show up pre-Kang ruling and then skip through time and end up where he kind of was supposed to be, but he ends up meeting himself. And that is post-Sylvie destroying the timeline, and they are working to correct it at that point.
Right. The only thing that throws me off there a little bit is that it looks to me like, well, it's hard to know. It's impossible to know. But it's not like that device is re-knitting, you know, or re-looping the time out the other end. It's not going from a mess to tight. Yeah. It's going from tight to a mess.
Right.
But that could be that it's just a clamp. It could be that it's just something that's trying to stop any further, you know, timelines from splitting off from it.
Victor Timely describes it as something that can shape time. So, I agree that it seems like it's going kind of the wrong direction.
Right.
All right.
I think I wanted to touch on the time slipping. I think the time slipping, I'm guessing that the time slipping is happening because he was from the old universe and he was outside of it. He was outside of time, where He Who Remains Citadel was, when that whole thing was busted, you know, when he was killed and everything else, and so was Sylvie. And so that has somehow made them kind of jumping through, not locked into any time period or time place, or place in time, I suppose is better English. And that's why he's splitting up all over the place and jumping around.
I'm glad you took a stab at that, because yeah, I think that was something I was going to be watching for this season. Like, how did he,
Well, plus the other thing too, is that if you remember the way he's kind of splitting is very similar to the way that Scott, Lang from Ant-Man does in Quantumania. There's that quantum storm or some sort of storm that causes him to split off into a million pieces and a million versions of himself. Some of them are turning into ribbons when he's turning into Giant Man and he's ribboning off. Okay. And it was very similar. It's a little bit similar to that, you know? And so I kind of think that there's some connection between what's happening to him and what was going on in that movie.
And we don't just see Loki time slipping. We see Sylvie interacting with items that seem to be time slipping. I mean, she's got a record that seems to be. And then we've got, like, it looks like a taxi cab that flies through the sky in the TVA city society. It seems to be shredding as well. I think a lot of things are getting screwed up by that last moment from season one.
Absolutely.
I think it's funny that maybe it's been on purpose, but the way that the Scarlet Witch destroys Reed Richards in the Multiverse of Madness. Did you guys see that?
I do. I just want to say she ripped his head off or something, but maybe that was...
No, she turned him into... He looked like that record. He looked exactly like that record. She just turns him into spaghetti, basically.
Right.
And it could be just a coincidence, but I'm wondering if there's anything to do with, you know, with a sim, you know, that power.
I hope it's not a coincidence. Related. That's what I want. I want all of
it. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they do a great job of keeping it all together. But, you know, one of the other things I did want to talk about, and, you know, that third headline is good old fashioned legwork. And in the trailer, you know, Mobius, he explains how he is like or not like Loki. Loki is like action first, you know, action first, talk later, think about it later or whatever. And he's more methodical. He's talking about his pie.
Yeah.
and you know, so I don't know which one of you guys, you know, Sid, why don't you take, you know, that point in terms of how he is going about this versus the way Loki is going about it, knowing that Loki is in the middle of it because he's the one that's looking like, you know, something out of a TV and he's transitioning all over and he can't do anything about it.
I think it's a good reminder that this is a good old-fashioned buddy cop, you know, setup, and they are hilarious together. I mean, I guess other parts of kind of like that middle section of the trailer that I like. I mean, yeah, like Mobius calls himself cerebral, and I mean, and then he starts talking about pie, and then we see Loki just shake his head with annoyance. So I think there's going to be plenty of comedy. But we're also going to get a little bit of Loki that we hadn't gotten last season. He's going to be energy blasting people. He is going to be cloning himself. So I'm ready to see his tricks.
Awesome. And Kirk, what do you think about the relationship between the buddies, the good cop and worst cop?
I think I think it's part of what was so endearing about the first season, and I think about the show in general. Work off of each other fantastically. You know what I mean? And they develop a respect for each other. And I think any good cop, good guy, bad guy, cop show is or film buddy thing. It doesn't even have to be cops, but you know, that's what it's about. It's about recognizing, okay, this person, you know, has abilities, but he's a bit of an ass. And then the other one thinks this one's, you know, not serious. And, you know, is, and then they find out through going through the experience. And that was very much the case here. I mean, you know, Loki thinks he can outsmart him and that he's so much smarter than him. And then, you know, he realizes he's
not. Oh, no. And you know, what's funny about Owen Wilson, he's played the same character his whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, he never changes. And, yeah. and that's what I love about it. Cause you know, whether he's in, you know, Party Crasher, whatever movie it is, it's the same character. And we just all come to appreciate it. It's just now he's got a badge and a whatever sort of weapons.
True. Very true. I also think though that like we were talking at the very beginning of the discussion that, you know, Loki is a tortured character. And I think what's so warm about their friendship is that Moebius understands that and sees that there's more to it than what he puts out on top, and digs through in season one and starts to help Loki kind of, you know, realize there's more to him than that. He doesn't have to be just reactive and, you know, be angry because of, you know, and I don't know, he just sees through all that and he knows the torture that he's been through, and he kind of just becomes very supportive of him and helps bring him out of his shell.
I like what you said about, I mean, I guess I mostly was laughing at Moebius for saying that he's more cerebral, but I mean, you're making me think of season one and how Loki is, you know, frantic all of the time, and he's trying to do some trick or run away, and Moebius just never speeds up. You know, he'll just rewind Loki if he needs to, but I mean, it's kind of that slow and thoughtful, and he's a match for Loki because of that.
Absolutely.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's been dealing with Loki his whole life, so he knows him better than anybody, and doesn't matter what Loki it is, they all kind of do the same thing.
Right.
One of the themes that I think also comes out of this trailer is, you know, Loki says it's up to us to save this place. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, with the whole it's up to us.
Right.
It's a big change from where Loki started in the Marvel movie when he started this whole journey. The most selfish person in the world, you know, he's trying to take over Earth. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that.
Like only one person can rule, and it must be Loki.
Right.
But here, he's willing to adjust and help fix, but he needs a partner. And I've been wondering this entire time, like, where Sylvie's been, you know, after she eliminates He Who Remains, you know, is she hanging out at the Citadel at the end of time, or we see her at a McDonald's, which I think is awesome. I'm wondering,
yeah, that was like kind of funny,
a McDonald's apocalypse that she's hiding out in, because that's what I want. But it seems like they find each other at the end, and they are having a discussion at that point. She says, "Whatever we do, we are playing God," and Loki answers that and says, "We are God." So you hear Sylvie wrestling with what to do now that she's released the timeline. She has Loki to kind of like bounce all of that off of. At least I hope. I want to see
that. Yeah, I mean, they
absolutely.
All the Lokis have their own thing to bring to the table. So, and all the characters, I mean, you know, the trailer only gives us like, and that's the thing, Kirk. That's the problem with these trailers, and not that I don't love doing the breakdowns, but they're such a pain in the butt because there is no context. And because you don't have those contexts, you don't know what the heck is going on.
Right.
And I know when I was doing the From trailer breakdown, and when we look back at it after, you know, a couple episodes, I'm like, yeah, we got that completely wrong, because it just had nothing to do with what we thought was going to happen. And that's all good. I mean, it's great. That's why we do it, is because we love the show.
Yeah. Well, they do that on purpose, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Maintain, you know, integrity of the show before you see it. So, you know.
Did you have any other points, Sid?
I
It's up to us?
Well, I think in like this time point, we see Ramona Renslayer again. And I am definitely going to be, when we do this rewatch, kind of like paying attention to her because I didn't understand her character the first time through. But in this, I don't understand her motivations. She seems like when everybody else found out, all the other time agents find out that they are variants. She was the one who didn't seem fazed by that, and it didn't change how, I mean, she was still very supportive of He Who Remains. So in this, we see her with some sort of charged weapon, and then we see her again later in some like old timey clothes. I placed that at the Victor Timely World's Fair point. And then we see her, I think, in the void. So she ends up there and like maybe facing Eliath, who, by the way, is like maybe my favorite character in this whole show. And then we do see Casey, and I wrote the lovable TVA desk clerk who doesn't know what fish are.
Right.
And he seems to be escaping from some, like maybe prison through some like tunnels. I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to see them too.
Kirk, do you have anything else on that? Or
I wanted to come back to a couple of things because I had notes on them and I didn't.
Sure.
One just came up in my head though, was part of, I think, why Loki cares now and wants to contribute to solving this problem. One, obviously, survival. You know, he's always about survival. I mean, Loki always survive, right? I mean, isn't that the point of the whole? I mean, everybody you meet in the in the void is a Loki.
So, yeah, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like
I'm doing something right.
That's right. So there's that. But then I think, you know, when he going through his life and for him to sit and watch it, it's very metaphorical, I think, with like psychotherapy or a therapy of some kind. Because in other words, you don't, you know, you go through life and you've experienced things and then, you know, you approach things differently each time and move on down, whatever. But until you go and look at your life more objectively, the way he does at the TVA, it's hard for you to develop empathy or to see where you made mistakes or to realize you want to change from the way you were because you'd rather be something different. And I think that's part of the reason too, is that he sees a better version of himself. You know, he doesn't want to have his story end that way, you know, where he's just constantly this bad guy who can't stop doing the mischievous, you know, evil things. And even though it's in his nature, he wants to think of himself more in a positive light. So I think that's part of the struggle in here and why he's so committed to fixing this. He also feels like they broke it.
Right.
You know, I mean, he at the last minute had a change of heart and he tries to convince her in season one not to do it, you know, and realizes that this might be a huge mistake. And so now he feels like, you know, and he helped her get there and do this. So he feels responsibility for the end of all time. You know, I also wanted to come back to the pies since you brought them up.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they're going to come up again. I don't know. It's a very interesting segment. First of all, the room is circular again.
Mm.
Pies are circular again. I think it's interesting that it's key lime pie, which sounds a little like low-key key lime. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into that a little bit. But,
well, it's green.
And then it's green. Exactly. And they're all the same pie. So yeah. something is up with that. You know what right. I mean? The fact they got this, it's a green pie and it's all the same pie. Now, again, this could be one of those moments, Alex, where, you know, it turns out to be absolutely nothing and mean nothing. But it seems like, you know,
it's gotta be something.
I would think so.
If it's not something, then it's definitely these set designers who are absolutely brilliant. I mean, there's so much orange and there's so much green and there's that whole, like you were saying earlier, like retro futuristic, like Cocoa Beach, you know, Space Coast design throughout right. it. It looks great.
Yeah.
Eyes look great.
There's also something about green though, because obviously green is Loki's power is always green and his magic is green and he wears green and green is associated with Loki. But there are a couple instances. One is that pie. Why are all the pies the same and why is it a green pie? But then there's two other things that stuck out to me. One is he uses a power in one fight scene near the end where he blows up a whole room practically with green bolts or green power out of his hands that he's never exhibited before. That's right. that's not a typical Loki power. He's got more power in that segment. And then thirdly, if you look at the colorization of the timeline that's coming out of the device that we were talking about earlier, that's been clamped on obviously to wherever the time line is splitting off, it's no longer just purple and blue, which is what it was at the end of season one when it all starts splitting off. There's green mixed in with it. So there's
something to be said for that color in terms of what does that mean in the bigger picture.
Right. And has Loki's power somehow become part of the universe now because of what they did? You know what I mean? Is he now actually the power of Loki somehow integrated into the forces of the universe?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, and it does seem like he's got more power now. So.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that he wasn't doing those like energy bursts and like
not of that magnitude. No.
Right. Well, maybe he has. It's because Sylvie's with him. Is she in that?
I don't know if she's in that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
Saying I know when they're together. Yes, they. I mean, in other words, they were only able to beat Eliath because they realized that their powers when together, you know, were more powerful than even He Who Remains. So, but I think there's more going on with that. I have in my notes from this section of the trailer that was also this is where he zaps the wall, isn't it? Also around this period.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
I think we should talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So when he zaps the wall, which has the portraits of the timekeepers, and you start to see Kang, but multiple Kangs, and right. I'm guessing that it's the Council of Kangs, which is at the end of Quantumania, Ramatut, Immortus, and the Scarlet Centurion. So that's just my guess, is that this is now their timeline that they've created, or their TVA that they've created, that he's in.
Right.
Do you guys have an opinion about that?
Help me. So I thought that what you were about to bring up was when Loki takes the like time stick that ends up pruning people and things like that to the like the golden mosaic wall of the timekeepers,
right.
And peels that back and he sees one face, and that's
there's actually three, but you don't get to see the other two. There's one on either side of the Kang in the middle.
I did not realize that. That's really interesting, because I mean, because there's only one statue, right? And I thought he was trying to prove, but I mean, there are other Kangs, we know that from Quantumania. But I thought he was, you know, trying to prove to everyone that at one point Kang was in charge of this, and then he put these figureheads that are obviously robots. We see the robot head on the floor in the foreground, and so it seems like Loki's like, look, they're robots, and like this used to be run by this bad guy. Guys, let's go find him. So that's what I took that scene to mean.
Right. Maybe I'm not interpreting it right. It could be that it's also not the same TVA and timeline point.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
That is the one he
wakes
up.
I think if you look at that first scene, the clock has got many hands on it. So I think we're dealing with multiple time. I mean, it's so up in the air.
Yeah.
And I think it's really misleading what they're doing. So I think, yes, I think that there are multiple Kangs, like you said. I think it does go back. But I also think that there's a lot of misleading stuff going on with Kang, and they're just trying to screw with us. Mm-hmm. And I know that's my answer for everything on this podcast episode.
I wanted this trailer. I wanted to read it like left to right. I wanted it to be.
It's not. It's up, down, and sideways.
Right, right. I'm going to keep it in mind.
That said, and the one thing that I love towards the end, which, you know, in our opener, we've really kind of embraced, is you better run, because you better strap in from the promotion poster until the end of the trailer. there is not a minute to breathe because it's going to be action-packed Marvel movie magic, whatever you want to call it. And these guys are going to be running and running and running until the end. I mean, the quick flashes of all the different characters that were in season one with a couple of sprinkles of new people. I mean, it's typical Marvel excitement. Sid, why don't you start that off? What was your point on you're going to run?
Okay. So I am so excited to see a gigantic, like, marshmallow man sized Miss Minutes running down the street, like people fleeing in terror. Like, what did they do to make her so mad?
Kaiju. Kaiju Mrs. Minutes. Kaiju is a Japanese Godzilla type monster.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then that's exactly right. I still love her. Whatever they did, they did something wrong. Like,
she almost looks like a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's animated, you know, still. And she's.
Well, I think that demonstrates to us that though she's animated and in TVA, it seems like she can come into the real universe and be a physical entity.
Yeah, she, Loki asked her, I think at some point during season one, it's been a minute since, because I wanted to save my rewatch, but he asks her if, you know, are you a robot? Are you programmed or are you alive? And she goes, kind of both, you know? So like, she exists in a way we don't fully understand.
I think she's an old timey version of AI.
She yeah, is. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she was in Space Odyssey. I think she was the she was the backup actor to Hal.
She won't open the door. She opened the door. So they couldn't use her.
Yeah, they couldn't use her. She was just too difficult to work with.
That's right. But you know, I think it's not lost on me that's where we see Miss Minutes. That is with Victor Timely. So, and then Ravonna, who's going to gets a message from him in season one and then goes to meet Destiny or whatever she says, you know, she's there. So I think Victor Timely is the early version of He Who Remains. And I think that he actually is the same Kang that was in the Quantum Mania, because the Kang in Quantumania wanted to get rid of and destroy the Council of Kangs and be the only Kang. And that's what He Who Remains accomplishes.
Right.
And I think he accomplishes it by at the end of Quantumania, he's sucked into his time machine thing or whatever it is and everybody thinks, oh, he's dead. He's not dead. I think he was sent back in time to where Victor Timely is.
Right.
And now he's trying to build the technology that he needs there in order to build the TVA and create the, you know, the sacred timeline.
That's exactly what I think too. And I think it starts to explain some of that like 50s, 60s, mid-century modern aesthetic too, because he's going to start building it up through all of that.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely like that future Kang coming back.
Yeah.
All right. Anything that we missed before we get into just basic casting or anything like that? Any other points you want to put up?
I got pages.
I told Sydney we cannot have a 3-hour podcast on a trailer because I just my back can't do it.
I hear you. Okay.
No, but I'm just saying in general. You know, from the trailer, is there any other things that really popped out at you, Kirk?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think we were just talking about a really important point, which is, you know, the connection between the Kang and Quantumania, Victor Timely and He Who Remains. And another cute clue to that, I think, is that the shot that we see of the Council of Kangs in the post-credit scene, I think,
right,
is taking place in a room that looks very much like the Citadel, where at the end of time there, where He Who Remains' base was. But it's not torn apart and put back together the way it is with He Who Remains. If you remember, He Who Remains, all the walls are split, yeah, and there's cement, or there's some sort of gold thing that's, and one of the statues is knocked down and it's a bit of a mess. So, you know, I think that the, and remember his whole thing to the Lokis was, you can run it or you can kill me, and we're just going to go through this whole process again, and I'm going to end up back here. And I think that is, there's a very good possibility that his citadel was in fact created by the Council of Kangs, and he took it over when he won the multiversal war the first time, or not the first time, but the last time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was kind of cool. It was also interesting that Moebius's mask is cracked, and they throw the tape on it. And I don't know. I just
thought that was funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
We just see like some adorable Obi time.
Yeah. But I'm wondering too, if there wasn't also a little bit of, you know, things crack, things get broken. And then if you look also when at the title line of the Loki logo, when he says the line, you know, Moebius says, you know, you've always been, I don't remember exactly how it's worded, you're the king of mischief or whatever. And
right,
it's always have been, always will be, he says. Right. And the Loki thing comes across. If you look, the letters are cracked. They're all cracked and shattered and broken. Even though they still have integrity for the letters, which is again, very much like the Citadel looked, and yeah, now Moebius's mask. And I don't know. I just thought there was some symbolism there. When they come into the control room to get prepared to go out on that catwalk, they're carrying a device, which he then later Moebius is carrying out on the catwalk. It looks a lot like the Victor Timely device, or at least part of the Victor Timely device, which again, I think is a sign that Victor Timely, He Who Remains, and all of that is all kind of connected together. You know what I mean? And yeah, key to getting back to the way it was with the sacred timeline.
I don't remember what he was holding. I can't believe I watched him walking along that metal plank platform without seeing that he had something in his
hand. Well, it actually, you don't see it that well in that shot. You see that he's holding it, but you see it in the shot before, it's either before or after, when they show them coming into the control room. And okay, I think Moebius is carrying it. I gotta just look at my notes here.
Well, I've got one. I'm excited to see a little bit more about Hunter B-15. I think that like one of the main themes of this season is going to be finding out who these people were before they were pruned and lost their memory. And, you know, what did they do to become a variant or whatever? Because we see her in a couple of different costume changes. We see her in like a gold dress and like gold like necklaces. And yep, I know that they showed her in the last season and something that made a lot of people think that maybe she was from like the Black Panther from Wakanda. But this time she's also in like a physician's coat. So I'm real curious to see who she was.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that you had mentioned Casey, the shot of the administrator guy, Casey running through the streets, you know, in the darkness, and, you know, like he's trying to get away from something. And then she's, you know, in a couple of different outfits, like you said, she's a doctor, she's a singer. I'm wondering if one of the plot lines isn't that, you know, the TVA is under attack, or is being, you know, the members of that particular division of the TVA or that multiverse version are being chased and hounded, and they're trying to hide in time the way that Sylvie was hiding in time in season one. I thought it was also funny that the first shot of her is she's dressed as like a blues singer from like the 30s looking. She's got like a gold outfit on and a thing in her hair. She looks very much like she did in the fantastic HBO show Lovecraft Country. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
She plays a singer in that as well. And man, I just thought that was fun. I love when shows tip the hat or pay tribute to, you know, I don't know, maybe it's not.
Yeah, but it looked very 20s. It did look very, you know, 20s bathtub gin type of.
Yeah.
Yeah, look. But it could also be that she is somewhat in that movie Zaniac, which we also haven't brought that up, but because I mean it seems like it's from that same time period, so she could be an actress.
Yep. Then I also wanted to point out the mural that there's just a split second where Loki's standing in front of two murals. One is of the timekeepers, but the other one shows a bunch of comic book versions of Kang fighting each other. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. I did.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the multiversal war. I thought that was pretty cool. Oh, hold on. All right, go on. Go get him. Go get him. We'll get him. Who is it? I brought her down here while you guys were away. Yeah, I know.
What is he?
She's I can't tilt the camera because it's on my.
It's okay.
That's the edge of her bed. Nope. Ellie. Ellie.
Oh, I see you back. Oh, hey, sweetie.
Oh, well. She's like, I want to sleep.
Yeah.
My family just came home. Okay, so that's Ravona. I talked about that. I'm guessing she is. So I think Ravona is back with him because she's trying to help him. Because I think ultimately he will become he who remains, or that's traditionally what's happened.
So Ramona Renslayer's allegiance still is with this Kang.
He who remains, which is that particular Kang, exactly.
Not well,
and then also to that point I just made about how the TVA personnel may be on the run, you know, and that the TVA may be, you know, being attacked or under. I mean, there's tons of shots of stuff falling, cars smashing through windows, lights out across the city. So, you know, it just seems like the TVA is under attack. That's, you know, that's definitely happening. That's it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And now that this trailer has gone on, we're going to be starting our coverage. We're going to be doing 2, 4, 6. We're going to be doing 2 at a time. So we'll do 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6 coming up. And the cast of characters are pretty much the same. We're just adding a couple of different people. You know, so and who knows who else they're gonna end up adding who they haven't said. There any Sydney, is there anybody that you want to kind of point out that you're really looking forward? I know you were talking about B15 or Hunter B15. Is there any other people that you're like just really looking to catch up with, or any of the new characters?
I think something that that I found online that surprised me is that Casey, who we only see for just a hot second in the trailer, he's actually Eugene Cordero. He's actually been bumped up to a series regular for the season. So I mean, he must be around more than I expect him to be. And then some of our new cast is Kiwe Kwan and Raphael Castle. I think that my husband knew him from some other things. Do you guys know him?
Yeah. I don't know the actor, but I know he's playing the Zaniac guy.
Right. So he's an actor. Playing an actor on this who is Zaniac, who is a comic book character in himself, right?
Yeah, in the 80s there was an actor playing a role called Zaniac that then he ends up becoming possessed by an actual Zaniac's I don't know if it was a single demon or a group of like parasitic type demons, I remember. And he starts becoming this mass murderer, kind of serial killer, and Thor has to stop him. Seems like a pretty low level villain to be fighting a god, but that was the 80s. It was the 80s.
This Raphael Castle, though, he's obviously a bad guy because we do see him being attacked by Loki with like green energy beams. We also see two silhouettes of Loki kind of restraining him against a wall with magic. So he's going to be, we're going to be going up against him this time. And then there's Kate Dickey. So she's a veteran of Game of Thrones, which I actually didn't watch, so don't ask me. But it's,
oh no, she was Lord Baelish's wife there for a little bit.
I guess there's conjecture that she'll play an older version of Sylvie. And then we have Liz Carr. So she has an undisclosed role, but I guess that she was recently in The Witcher. So I might know her from that. And then like writing and directing, we still have Kevin Feige at the top of Marvel, and that this time we've got Eric Martin. He's serving as head writer, and then Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead are the directing team. So Eric, the head writer, he wrote a lot of season one, and but I guess he's kind of like a relative unknown. He wrote some stuff from Rick and Morty. We don't have Michael Waldron back this year as the writer. So Michael Waldron was essentially the creator and head writer of season one. And he worked on Multiverse. I guess he did Multiverse of Madness. But we have Eric Martin now. So I looked into Michael Waldron just because I am a big fan of his now, because I think this is such a creative show. And he's busy still with Marvel, still with Disney. He is working as head writer for Avengers Secret Wars and for an untitled Star Wars project. And then for the two directors, those head directors that are like a duo, they are credited with Twilight Zone and Moon Knight. So you know them.
Know that series.
Yes, you do.
They better do a sequel. They better do a second season.
Sure. Yep.
I have a question for both of you.
Sure.
One is two questions, actually. One is, do you guys think we're going to get Loki back in the MCU timeline? Because remember, the premise here is that he has to die at the hands of Thanos. The only reason he's alive now is because he's in the TVA and he's helping them, you know, deal with the, you know, Sylvie situation in season one. Now he's got to help them deal with, you know, the whole timeline issue. But when they eventually get it all resolved, do you think this is going to be the end of Loki in the MCU, or do you think he's going to remain?
I haven't heard anything like he wants out, you know, but I think that I don't know I want to see him back in it either. I mean, I like him here. It's going to be so many new faces when these new movies start coming out in like 2024 that maybe he doesn't feel like he fits there anymore for me right now.
I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. First off, the MCU is in a weird position right now because it's got the seniors that went off to college, and now it's the new class, so to speak. And we don't even know who this new class is, but I think the biggest problem with Loki is, as you said, one, he's got to die. I mean, he's got to die. But two, what is his place? There really is no place for Loki if there's no Thor. There is no Loki. I mean, there is no place for him there, unless they manufacture something, but I just don't see it being a good fit.
He could run the Citadel at the end of time. You know, he could maintain the timeline. He and Sylvie could do, that's what I want. I want the two of them to do this together. And obviously there's a real need for someone to control that. And then we can talk about, and let's talk about it during our, you know, coverage of season one and season two. But I mean, you know, where is it okay to control other people's free will? Where, because, you know, what you were saying a second ago, I think, Kirk, was that Loki has to die. He has to die at like the hands of Thanos, and he never gets to rule. Well, the only reason he never gets to rule and he has to die every single time is because that's what Kang said. So let's give him a chance to do something in a timeline of his own creation. And I hope that doesn't mean he limits the choices of others.
But I think there's going to be a real, and again, I don't know how this is all going to play out with the fans and whatever else. Once the new MCU starts taking shape, what is that really going to look like? Because nobody knows yet. And how are the fans really going to look at, you know, all the characters? Because there's no more Iron Man. There's no more this. There's no more of the classics. And he's, as much as he's a newer character, he's part of the old crowd.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not that he's old news, but I could see them maybe keeping the spinoff, but not keeping him directly in the movies.
Yeah. If that makes sense. Not that he's like old hat. He's just like distinguished as compared to some of these young Avengers that are.
Well, no, it's just that they're going in a different direction. I mean, they basically said, we are taking these new characters and they're the future. So, yeah. Kirk, where's Loki if Thor isn't there?
Well, I think Loki's with the Loki series, I think he's established himself as a standalone character.
Okay.
There's no doubt in my mind.
No doubt.
And he does not need Thor. He is, and I think that's part of what was going on again through him watching his life and realizing, you know, he needed to change and he needed to start taking charge of it and he needed to start fighting for the right causes and doing more to make his own mark on the universe.
Comic books can do anything. You know, they can you can change the star, so to speak. But as long as he, I feel, as long as he stays in this world,
yeah,
I think he'll be fine. I mean, this is what people want.
Right.
And it's a great question. And it's again, we could have a 5-hour podcast just on that question. But you know,
no, I tend to fall in the same camp as you guys on that question. I think that, I think he will remain in the MCU, but he will remain in the MCU in this out of the time area. So it's, you know, and I think the reason for that is because I think, you know, this is all leading to the Kang Dynasty movie, which then leads to Secret Wars. And I think Secret Wars is going to be Marvel's way to deal with the replacement of those key characters, Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, probably Hulk, probably all the original, you know, people. Because in Secret Wars, they take, you know, are you guys familiar with those comics?
No.
No.
Okay. The Reader's Digest version is that because of the incursions, like we learned in Multiverse of Madness and everything else, all the universes collide on each other and everything's going to be destroyed. And in the comics, it's Dr. Doom gets the power of this creator called the Beyonder, I think is that. And he uses it in order to pull together enough pieces from different universes to make one world. That's called Battle World. It's one remaining world. And you have on it all these different variants of all the main characters, you know what I mean? Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, you know, everybody is there. And the way that ends up resolving itself is that they reboot the universe. Long story short, there's a lot of conflict that goes on. Reed Richards is very involved, but they end up rebooting the universe. And then you end up with a new MCU, and in it are a lot of the original MCU characters, not MCU, Marvel Universe in the comics. Yeah, you know, the originals, but then you've got new versions that are from the variant version that was on that Battle World, let's say. And so it's not the same Doctor Strange. And I think they're going to use that premise in the movies in order to reboot Captain America, Iron Man, you know, these characters that have now outlived themselves or have retired or the actors left. And it will be the new Iron Man for the next 10 years. It'll be a new actor. And I think it'll also be the way they introduce the X-Men.
Right.
You know, and it's because they can't explain why they haven't been here now. You know what I mean? So that's just my guess.
I think the new Deadpool movie is supposed to help us understand where X-Men's been.
Well, that there's X-Men in another universe, but that they're not in this universe. Mm-hmm. But so I think that Loki will stay in the MCU in some form. Maybe it's here in the TVA until that period. And then I think they'll reboot him along with Thor.
Okay.
Second question is, who's the big bad of this season? Based on the trailer.
I think they're
trying to make it seem like it's Victor Timely, but I don't think it is.
Well, who is it?
I think it's the Council of Kangs. I think it's the three Council of Kangs that you see at the end of Quantumania.
Okay.
That's my guess. Do you guys have a different opinion?
I don't have any right now. I'm just kind of, my head's spinning. I'm just the guy that's hosting this podcast, guys. You know, before you start giving me the hate mail, you know, these are the two experts here. I'm just here for for along for the ride. But no, I mean, it's if anything, the MCU or Disney has shown us, you can't believe anything at face value. So I just love taking a lot of this stuff at face value and just seeing how it all plays out, because I don't know enough, but I know enough to get myself in trouble, but not enough to get, you know, there could be that extra person that we just don't know about yet.
Right. What do you think?
The guess I have is that, I mean, is that this Zaniac guy is a bigger deal because they show him so many times, but I'm honestly, I haven't thought about it at much like any level because I don't need the show to be propelled by that sort of conflict. Like, I'm ready for Sylvie and Loki to find each other. Where has Sylvie been? Like, she's obviously wrestling with this. Maybe she's actually been at this a little time. Like, I'm watching for that.
Any final thoughts there, Sydney?
I don't know. I'm just excited. I'm excited to do the rewatch. I'm excited to watch it with you guys and talk about it in September. I haven't watched it in a while. I am excited to put some of this comic book knowledge that I've gained over the past few months and some of these rewatches that I did actually do of like Endgame and Infinity War, Ragnarok, Dark World, like all of them.
Did you watch Quantumania yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I had watched like a little bit of it. I'm going to rewatch that. It's on my list.
Definitely. That's an important one, I think.
I think so too. I'm ready to put all of that into action when we rewatch this and start season two.
And Kirk, what's your final thoughts?
Yeah, I can't wait. You had talked at the beginning of the this discussion about how, you know, Marvel could do no wrong in your eyes, and I agree completely. But I think of the Disney Plus shows, you asked me at that time, you know, did I think there was anything that was wrong? I love them all, but there's no doubt Loki is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Moon Knight was fantastic. I loved Moon Knight. I thought it was deep. I thought it was dark. I liked that. WandaVision, totally original, cool concept, super, you know, super cool. Introduced a great new hero with Photon. Falcon Winter Soldier felt like another version of Winter Soldier, not a version, but like a chapter of Winter Soldier. You know, I loved it. Thought that was fantastic. I like She-Hulk. I liked Hawkeye. I thought Hawkeye was fantastic. So I thought they've all been good, but if I had to rate them, Loki's number one. It felt the most like a movie. It felt the most that it more than any other has affected the MCU directly. And in the story that the MCU is going to be telling over the next 5-10 years. And that made it just so important. And I love the character. And I think that it's one of the best handled shows from the production and set design to the way it's photographed, to the way it's written, to the music. Every aspect of the show was spectacular. It wasn't an episode that was bad. It's one of the few of the Disney Plus series that I've actually sat and rewatched more than just once. Mm-hmm. I've probably rewatched it at least 2 to 3 times since the original time I watched it. So I'm excited. I was appreciative that you guys wanted to ask me to be a part of this. You may regret it now that I'm dragging on and continue to diarrhea at the mouth.
You're gonna learn a lot.
Free to use the mute button anytime you
want. I didn't even hear a word you said. So
there you go. See, that's good. That's good. He gets it.
This isn't even my picture. I'm actually downstairs.
Smart man.
I'm learning a lot as we're going along, and I think that's what this is all about. Because we have like 3 different views on this. You know, we've got the people that are the deep divers. We got the people that are just the video. I mean, the series watchers. And then a combination of both,
right,
and everything in between. So I want to thank you guys because I can't wait for October 6th to start the premiere of the new episodes. But right before that, we're going to be recording a couple of different episodes for the rewatch. And folks, if you enjoy the show, and really, how could you not? If you want to give us a 5-star rating on the podcast. Also, if you have any thoughts or anything, feedback or whatever else, you can always go to podcastica.com and you can leave voicemail or email. And if you like the show, it's Alex. And if you don't, it's Kirk. It's great, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm just really happy that I get to podcast with both of you, because you guys know what you're doing with the, when it comes to this stuff. So hopefully I can hold on long enough to understand all the players, because I have, like, it seems like I thought I did some good research, but I think I have to go back and do like at least another week's worth of watching. And that's just of the MCU. I mean, that's just of all the Marvel movies, it seems like. And then I got to start rewatching all the other stuff and all the side stuff and whatever else. So, folks, we're in for a good ride.
You're going to be busy.
And then I also have to pay the bills. So, you know, yeah, hopefully that'll be able to happen. But, you know, the clock is ticking, so we better get out of here. And my name is Alex.
And I'm Sydney.
And I'm Kirk.
And you better run. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
And next week we'll do this with key lime pie. Everybody has to make a key lime pie. We each got to have a piece.
We're going to be like Oprah. You get some key lime and you get
some. Everybody gets key lime.
Everybody gets it. And we all have to wear our green shirts too.
Amen.
So we are out.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.